The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
We started our series with Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, he says, this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, I believe it is, through 18. He says, Peter, upon you, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He says, this movement called the church, not the building, but the movement of assembly of people who believe in me, who accept me, is going to start with you. And he says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, which means that it's a movement of offense. It's not a movement of defense. And he says, it's starting with you, and it's not going to end. And so we use that as just kind of our foundation. And we just said that the church is not a building. The church is you. You are the church. You are the group of people that Jesus has empowered to advance his cause, to advance people gaining a relationship. And so we just spent several weeks. Pastor Jared, after week number one, he came in and he preached that as a group of people, as the church, we have to tell it like it is. Not like, oh my God, you need to go somewhere. No, not that. But we need to tell people of the power of Jesus Christ, that we can't hold back what Jesus has done for us. We need to pray for people when it's time to pray. We need to encourage them when it's time to encourage them. And then last week, we just stopped and said that if we're going to have a real relationship with Jesus, we can't lean on a fake religion. We have to decide that if Jesus put it on the inside of me, I have to tell it. And if it's in me, I can't just let it stay there. And so every week we just kind of built on being the church. And this morning, I just want to kind of slow it down. I'm going to give you a little bit of information. So on that worship guide that you have, if you have a pen, you're going to take a little bit of notes. But I'm going to read a little bit. Can I read a little bit? Is that all right? Now, just so y'all know, please, I know the worship music is really slow behind me and it's real soft. But what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to fall asleep, because I'm passionate and I love Jesus so much. And I feel like, as I say this every week, I feel like it's a more enjoyable ride if you talk back. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all go on a roller coaster or to a theme park and you're quiet? Anybody? No? Okay. I just want to make sure, because you pay for that admission. Jesus' encounter is free. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit of talk back. But Matthew chapter 21 says this. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately they'll give it to you. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. Don't know how to pronounce that word, foal. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the help. I'd like to talk back. Amen. Amen. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the coat, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees. Another translation said that it was palm branches from the trees, and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before him, they cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all of the city was moved and said, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Can everybody say, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? If I could set the context of this story and just kind of give you the background. When Jesus is heading to Bethpage, he had just come from doing a miracle. And the Bible says that after he did the miracle, he looks at his disciples and he said, we need to go to the next city. And so he began to go to the next city. And as he was going to the next city, he said, hey, disciples, the process is in full motion. I am about to die. There's some things prophetically that need to occur, and it's about to happen right now. So he says, listen, I need two of you, you and you, go over to the village a little bit ways away. He says, when you get to the village, there's going to be a donkey, and it's going to be, they're going to be her colt. And I want you to go, I want you to unleash them, and I want you to begin to bring them to me. If the owner stops you, tell him that the Lord needs it. So he goes, they go over, and they get the colt. And the Bible says that they bring the colt, and they bring the donkey. And as soon as they bring the colt and the donkey, they begin to position Jesus on it. And right away, when Jesus hops on the donkey, it says that people began to shed their clothes, get palm branches, and not only just a few, but it says then the multitude came and began doing the same thing. This day that we celebrate today is the start of what we call Holy Week. It is the beginning week that leads up to Easter, the beginning process when Jesus is on the verge to die. We call it Palm Sunday. And the Bible says that there was a group of people that when they saw Jesus hop on the donkey and ride on the colt, it says that there was something on the inside of them that shifted them from seeing Jesus as he normally was to seeing a king riding on a throne. And knowing that he was a king, the story says that they couldn't just let the king ride on any sort of ground. It says that they humbled themselves, took off their coats, and began to lay their coat down. This morning, I want to pull some things from this story that relates to us being the church. Is that okay if I do that? Is that, can you say amen? Amen. Come on, give me a little amen. Amen. Good, good, good. So the story starts off, I said it a while ago, that Jesus asked two men to go get the colt. And it says that when they get to the house, the owner releases the colt. Here's what I'm finding is amazing is one. Here's one, and this is not even in the point. This is not even the point. You and I, watch now, you and I, once we give our heart to Jesus, once we give our heart to Jesus, we have to give him complete ownership. Are you with me? We have to give Jesus complete ownership. We can't hold anything back. We can't hesitate when the thing that he would ask of us sounds strange. Jesus, they just perform a miracle. They are on this supernatural high. They're walking, and then Jesus says, hey, go give me a donkey and a colt. It could be strange, the things that Jesus would ask of us sometimes, but the response from the disciples was that once they decided to follow him completely, they decided that whatever that he had asked of them, they would do. So when you and I choose to give Jesus our life, choose to follow Jesus, we have to do it completely. Even when it sounds strange. Are you with me? So he says, hey, listen, I just performed this miracle. You've seen signs. You've seen wonders. And now I need a donkey and a colt. Go get it. If you have any problems, tell them the Lord has need of it. Oh, and if they have any more discussion, the reason why this happened is because a prophet spoke it years ago. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm just assuming that if I ask one of the dream team members to go out and get me a donkey this morning and a colt, they might go, say what? You need a what? For what? Why? But the disciples, because they had decided that they were going to give Jesus all, the Bible says that they went. Here's just something that if we're going to be the church, not just attend church, and we're going to follow Jesus, and we're going to realize that the movement is not stationary, but Jesus has called us to advance the movement. Here's what I realized when the disciples just went. I realized that it's an act of worship to serve and obey Jesus. It's an act of my worship that if he asks me to do something that doesn't make sense to me, it actually brings worship to him because he sees the end result. I don't. Jesus knew that immediately, once they started the process of their obedience, there were more people who would respond based on their service. See, Jesus knew that there was a trigger effect, that if I give him my life, if I serve, that there's an end result to my initial obedience. Are you with me? So based on their result of going, their result of serving, their result of worship, Jesus knew that it would end in the multitudes. Are you with me? So it's the act of worship that and service that just continues to draw me closer and continues to allow me to function and continue the movement of the church. Look at what he says. He says, go, you're going to find it. You're going to find the donkey and you're going to find the colt. Here's what's real cool. I looked up, why would he want a donkey and the colt. Jesus was telling his disciples, the impact that I have is going to be multi-generational. Because he gets the old donkey and then he gets the young colt. Can you see that? He says, give me this generation, but then I want to impact the generation to come. So he doesn't just go and just get the donkey. And he doesn't ask for the horse. He says, I am coming for the people that most people would look past. When you look up donkey back in today and in biblical days, it says this. It says that the donkey was the most sturdiest of animals because it could carry the heaviest of burden and handle the roughest terrain. So Jesus was saying, what is going to be carried is going to be heavy, and I need something that can carry the load. I need something that when it gets bumpy, it doesn't just look good. It can handle the pressure. And he says, and the generation that I'm impacting is not just for this current generation, it's for the generation to come. So can I tell you, when they unhooked the donkey, they were dealing then. But when they unhooked the colt, he was thinking about you. Jesus thinks generational. Remember, it's a movement. The church is a movement. So Jesus said, I'm going to sit on this. Then I'm going to sit on this because there's going to be a group of people that's going to come years later who are going to hear about this story, and they need to know that it's a movement. So when the disciples said, we'll go, they were unlocking through their worship, their service, their obedience, the generations. Because Jesus said, loose it and bring it to me. If you have any problems, tell them that the Lord needs it. Can I tell you that every bit of your worship is unlocking something else for somebody else? This morning as you were worshiping and we pushed you further, if I would have ended 1 minute sooner, someone would have still left here with their problem in their hand. But because we pushed a little bit further, the word of the Lord came that he was eliminating it right then. It's the act of worship that impacts somebody else. But here's the amazing thing. When you find it, loose it. If you run into any problems, tell them that the Lord needs it. Look, I saw this. We are called to engage the purpose and destiny of others. Go to that man's house. Tell him that he has a gift that the Lord needs. That wasn't theirs. The donkey didn't belong to Jesus. the donkey didn't belong to the disciples. But the gift that was already placed at that man's house, Jesus knew that it was there. Jesus knew that it needed to be unlocked. Jesus knew that he had to put it to work. Inside of you, the reason why City Place Church is called to build dreams, ignite your faith, establish you is because there's something that could be tied up that you need to hear a life-giving message in the atmosphere of lifting up the name of Jesus that Jesus can put to work and your purpose can be fulfilled. Y'all all right? I'm preaching hard. I'm not trying to do a seminar. So please don't look at me and expect a packet at the end. I'm going to give you this packet right now. Drop the mic and we're going to go home. So look, says this. He says, when you get to the house, there's a gift in their house that you have to unlock. Bring it to me and watch it change the world. Can I tell you that there's a gift on the inside of you that God has put on the inside of you, that if you can get in a life-giving atmosphere with another group of people who could speak life and create an atmosphere of worship that's so passionate, when you place that gift in God's hand, it could change the world. I'm telling you, if we will really allow Jesus Christ's mindset to be in ours, we will realize that the thing that we are capable of doing could have a generational impact. I know it may seem different than what other people may have told you. They may have just told you that this is the box that you're in, but I'm telling you that the impact that rests on the inside of you could impact the world. It says, your service is an act of worship. But as a group of people, as the church, advancing my movement, engage in their purpose. engage in their destiny. Unlock what's in them. I know that there may be some things that you haven't fully fulfilled yet. Turn your attention away from just you. Find somebody else and unlock it. Y'all all right? Oh, this one's one of my favorites. He says, your act of worship is coming through your service and your obedience. What you don't see is that it has a generational impact. That's the reason why I asked for the donkey and I asked for the colt. He says, while you're there, what you don't realize, disciples, is why you're being the church, why you're advancing my cause, is that you're unlocking the purpose and destiny of the owner, because he has a gift that the Lord needs, and people are going to read about this thousands and thousands of years later. What you don't see is that when you engage and you just decide that you're going to be the church, that it unlocks the purpose and destiny in somebody else. And the Bible says that as they take the colt and the donkey back to Jesus, they put him on it, and as soon as they put it on it, the Bible says, can I have that bag, Taisha? The Bible says, anybody ever watch The Cosby Show as a kid? I'm about to pull up my Gordon Gartrell shirt. Y'all don't know about the Gordon Gartrell, do you? Y'all look that up. Look, the Bible says that they began. Look, this jacket still got the tag on it. Y'all laughing, I'm serious. This was my Wilson, North Carolina jacket. Everybody in Wilson wore this jacket. Look, see that? Y'all thought I was joking. The Bible says that they started taking off their coat and laying it on the ground for Jesus. Imagine the person who had a little bit of money and hadn't even taken the tag off yet. Or maybe there was the person who had the tailor suit, because I found a suit in my closet that I've had for more than 15 years of family. When I was in college, I was doing this speaking thing, and they said, Damon, you can't wear Dockers, my friend. You need to have something nice. So they spent $400 on a tailor-made suit for me, because they were here, and they gave me this tailor. This is my tailor-made suit. They laid that down. Or maybe just the business person laid it down. Or the teenager, the hip hop, laid it down. Or a skinny jeans wearing, t-shirt wearing, laid it down. Oh, the basketball players, the athletes, laid it down. And the Bible says that they really didn't care their status. They really didn't care what they recognized through the act of obedience and worship through two dudes when they brought in what Jesus had asked them to do and he engaged their purpose. Jesus knew that it would have a trigger effect. So the Bible says that they lay Jesus, they sit Jesus on it, and it says that people just begin to lay down their identity, lay down their prestige, lay down the thing that they favored, lay down who they were, and it says that Jesus has begun to walk on who they were. But then it said that it just didn't lay down their cloaks. It said that some people ran to the tree and cut down palm branches. I don't know how y'all think about the story, but I had to think about this because before I left the house, we had palm trees at our house. And I realized that when I went to the palm tree this morning, it didn't just break. It took me a little bit of time. It wasn't easy work. But then after I got to the tree and I put my hand out, oh, I didn't realize that the palm tree had thorns. So what this leads me to believe is that when they laid down their cloaks, they were laying down their identity, who they were, who the community knew that they were, but they also laid down some of their hurts and pains, because to take down the branch was painful, time-consuming.
When I grabbed this thing, I was like, I don't know if I want to bring this in because I might forget that it has thorns. But the story says that they took the branches. Here's the amazing thing. We don't know how high the trees were. Was it a short tree? A tall tree? Did somebody have to climb? I don't want him to leave. I don't want him to leave. I want to be one of the people. I want to be one of the people who lays down my cloak. I didn't bring a jacket today. I need to get a branch. I don't know their level of passion. I don't know if they were so desperate. Please don't leave until I get my branch. Please don't leave until I lay mine down. Please don't leave. I just want you to walk over it, Jesus. Acknowledge. Acknowledge the fact that I'm giving you my worship. Acknowledge the fact that I'm giving you my... Please don't leave. The Bible says that they ran ahead of Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when I used to try to get autographs and there was a big crowd of people? I always ran ahead to where I thought they were going. Well, I just took my kids to the NFL Pro Bowl thing, and there was a big group of people. I said, we can't stand here. We can't stand here. Look, let's go right here. And I just began to lift up my sons like, hey, 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 hey. Imagine, put yourself in the story that they're not satisfied with a few people honoring the king. They weren't satisfied where they were. It says that the multitude grabbed branches. Can you imagine owning that tree? Be like, what y'all doing? Can you imagine the 10-foot tree, the 20-foot palm tree, but the desperation of the people so that Jesus can be honored? They said it's worth it. Can you imagine the risk of climbing the tree? Can you imagine how long it took to cut the tree? I don't know what it took, but the story was impactful enough so that we could read it today. They laid down who they were. The $500 jacket, the business person, the uppity person who, I still have the tag on that.
I don't know.
The athlete. The stay-at-home mom, the stay-at-home dad, the hip-hop youngster. Because when he saw the coat, they were like, oh, this is for me too. The skinny jeans wearing person. The person living in the elderly home. The one that has a broken family. Oh, ooh, that hurt when I lost my family member. Oh, but he still deserves the honor. The person who struggled with the... Oh. 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 Maybe the person with the finance. Oh, the finance problems. Oh. But they said no matter what, Jesus deserves the honor. See, when you lay down who you are, you put Jesus in a position of honor. They said, nobody else is crowning this dude, but we will. I will lay down who I am so that he knows that he's the king. There is no more clarity. Can you imagine? This is just me again. This is just me. This is just me. I'm sorry. Can you imagine Jesus walking on your garment and you getting to pick it up later? I don't know about y'all. This is just me. This is just me. I'd be like, y'all better not touch this. This is a collectible. Anybody, I'm just saying, you're talking about miracle worker, water walking, about to be raised from the dead, blind eyes opening, wine changing, dirt on the ground. Jesus, you have the audience about to make history. I'm keeping this jacket, and y'all ain't touching it. And anytime I have a need, Jesus, you walked on my circumstance. Jesus, you walked on my situation. Jesus, you chose my street that day to walk down. Ain't no way in the world that I'm going to doubt you ever again. I already laid down my identity. Why would I carry my problem after I laid it underneath your feet? Can I tell you that when you lay down your pride, your circumstance, your situation, you put Jesus in a position of honor?
All right, so I'm lying. Maybe I have a few other favorites than what I thought. Here's what's cool. As the church, being the church, not the building. We will move from this building. We will be in a permanent building, and then we will plant more campuses. And so it's not about the building. It's about the movement. It's about impacting people for the kingdom of God. It's our primary concern. The primary mission of Jesus Christ is so that we can lift up the name of Jesus, declare that he died on the cross, rose from the grave, and everybody can have a relationship with him. That's the complete mission. Here's what's really cool, though, is after we lay down our pride and Jesus is glorified, we have to be excited about Jesus being made famous. Like, it has to be our excitement about Jesus being the most famous person ever. We have already laid down our identity. The Bible says that they were running ahead, like cheering on. Who is this? Yo, he's the master. I don't know if y'all ever seen The Last Dragon. But sorry, I quote all sorts of movies. If you haven't seen this, like a cult film when I was a kid, and it was like a kid named Bruce Leroy, and Bruce Leroy, he loved Bruce Lee, and he was being trained, and he had a villain by the name of Shownuff from Harlem, man. And Shownuff was like Bolo Yang in Enter the Dragon. I don't know y'all. Sorry, but I like Kung Fu movies, and Shownuff would be doing his thing, right? And then Bruce Leroy was practicing in the background, but he couldn't beat him. But then one time, he got the power. I know my acting is taking y'all into the movie. Really, I feel like I'm just moving my arms, and you're like, what is this fool doing? But it doesn't matter. I'm preaching, you're not. So here it is. So Bruce Leroy, he faces Shownuff underground. And all of a sudden, and all of a sudden the glow came. The power of the glow. And then it's like the power came. And next thing you know, he did a whole Bruce Lee move. Took out Shownuff. And at the end, Bruce Leroy, he's dancing. And everybody's like, who is that? His brother looks and says, that's Leroy, and he's the master. See, why? Because he had done a feat that no one thought could be done. And by defeating the enemy, there was an exchange of identity. When he defeated the enemy became less than, and Bruce Leroy was identified as the master. Can I tell you that when Jesus Christ walks on your issue, handles your issue, defeat your issue, Shownuff ain't in charge no more. But King Jesus is. So when people ask, who did that for you? Who's in charge of that? You said, he's the master. So they say, who is this? And the multitude said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. You heard about him. He's legit. Everything you saw, that man did. Call him Jesus. You and I have to be excited about mentioning his name. On the count of three, can you just declare his name and not be ashamed? One, two, three. Jesus. Don't bury him and cause him to be less famous. He's the master. Ain't no need. We've laid down our issue. We've dealt with our pain, laid it at his feet. We've put him in a position of honor. You know what? I declare that I'm going to make him famous. Every day of your life, if you have to bumper sticker your car with 1,000 bumper stickers, I'm just kidding, don't do that. I actually was parked beside someone. I moved. But here's what I'm saying. Declare Jesus loud enough so that he becomes famous. I know what you may be thinking. People already recognize the name of Jesus. They do. But they also have a stereotype that he's mean, he's angry, He causes all of the world's problems. He's not real. He died. He has no power. This, oh, man, there's so many different things. People that say, no, miracles don't happen. And there are people that are Christians that believe that miracles don't happen. What I'm saying is make Jesus famous. Where you are, make Jesus famous. As the church, if all of us decide to make Jesus famous, we'll have a movement going through this city. Make him famous. Make him famous. So here's what I want to just declare over our church. And I'm wrapping up. Amen. At City Place Church, the church, we will be a life-giving church that builds dreams, ignites faith, establishes leaders that win the loss for the kingdom of God. We could leave off the kingdom of God. We could leave off win the lost, and it would be all about us, and the movement would die. But man, if God can speak life to you, your dreams can come alive. Faith comes alive. For somebody else, the movement will never end. So I'm looking at these disciples, and I realize that they have some traits that, as a group of people, it will be amazing for us to have here at our church as just the engine of our vision. Here's just a few. We will love God. We will love people. We will cover each other. We will cover our leadership. We are going to be spirit-led, of an excellent spirit. We will have a whatever-it-takes spirit, passionate in worship, generous in our stewardship. Dream big. We will make history, not repeat history. When these dudes said Jesus will go, they were loving Jesus. They were loving God. They were loving people. They had a whatever-it-takes attitude. They were being led by God's spirit. They had an excellent spirit. They did exactly what Jesus said. They wanted the movement of Jesus Christ to continue. If you and I can love God, love people, be spirit-led, have an excellent spirit, be passionate in our worship, passionate in our generosity, dream big, make history, not repeat history, the movement will never end. Worship team, you can come forward. City Place Church. City Place Church, we will be the church. You are the church. I told you this last week. You are so loaded with so much power. And Jesus is like, go ahead and let it loose. You have so much oomph. I have so much oomph. City Place, as a group of people, has so much oomph. And Jesus is like, we can do amazing things if we lift up our worship, not just on Sundays, but through the week. If we look at the person who's beside us and say, I can help unlock that purpose and destiny. If we lay down all of the things that we carry and say, Jesus, you got it. I'm putting you in a position of honor. Then we'll see Jesus made famous, because we're going to talk about it. Will you bow your head? You're in this building and you say, Damon, I've already laid down my problems and all those different things, but I got to be honest with you. I don't have a relationship with Jesus just yet. I'm listening to you and I see that he died on the cross for me, and everything that he's doing is so I can have a relationship. I realized, Damon, that he was thinking about me. This morning, I want to pray a prayer, and right where you are, I just want you to pray that prayer with me. It's a simple prayer. What it says is, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you in my heart. And Jesus, I'm giving my life to you today. It's real simple. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray the prayer, and I want you to pray it after me. And then we're going to celebrate what God did in your life. Again, Damon, I want to meet Jesus, whether I'm coming back or whether it's the first time. I believe Jesus can impact my life. Just repeat this after me. Say, Dear Jesus, today, I ask you to be Lord of my life. I acknowledge you died for me. You rose for me. And today, I choose you. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and say, Damon, I want to meet Jesus for the first time, or I came back to Jesus today, would you just raise your hand for me? I prayed that prayer today, Damon. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. I prayed that prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me give you some instruction. at the end of this service, at the end of the service, our team has a Bible for you. Next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we have a class called Fresh Start. It helps walk through our relationship with Jesus next week. And then on April the 8th, we have baptism. You can sign up as you leave today for baptism. But I also want to challenge you all to be here on Friday night, March the 30th, from 7 to 9, as we give Jesus our prayer and our prep for the weekend. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your glory. We thank you that you are amazing. We just declare that the name of Jesus be lifted high. We give you the glory. We give you the honor.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.